Good Monday morning to you, my friends, on the 150-day summer journey with me. Today, we'll together finish Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. As we read through 1 Corinthians 16, it seems clear Paul is preparing once again for travels. He's been in Ephesus nearly 3 years. Acts 19, verse 10 to 20, give us amazing insights into a mighty work of God during that time. This short phrase is quite a summary. The word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power, Acts 19:20. It was during this great moving of God in Ephesus that Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth who were experiencing such dysfunction and discord. We see in both Acts 19:21 and 1 Corinthians 16:3-12 that Paul and his companions had been evidently holding discussions regarding their upcoming travels and who would go where to continue the encouragement of the established churches and bring the gospel to new places. I'm sure you notice in verse 1 to 4, Paul's brief instructions to the Corinthian church to bring their offerings each Sunday as they gather and prepare to send some finances as a help to the church in Jerusalem. We presume most of the apostles were still in Jerusalem. History tells us famine and the iron fist of Rome had made life very difficult for Christians living in Judea. Therefore, Paul urged the churches that he had planted to send financial help to Jerusalem to help care for the needs of widows and orphans and poor and others there, but also to send out others like Paul as missionaries taking the gospel to other places. Friends, I hope you understand the remarkable privilege we have as Christians to view all our resources as coming from God, right? And why does God bless us with finances? First, for the purpose of accomplishing His strategic plans on earth, and secondly, for caring for our daily needs. Isn't it a wonderful adventure to look at our resources knowing they are God's and listening to His guiding of us in managing those resources as He involves us in His global strategic purposes, rather than looking at our resources and thinking about buying power for accumulating more stuff, or selfish and wasteful spending on ourselves, or even thinking about potential to shower inheritance abundance upon our children and grandchildren. Oh, my friends, may we have a great spirit of financial gratitude and generosity as we seek God's guidance for the distribution and use of all of His resources that He has entrusted to us. Here's a scripture for your consideration on this topic. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, for the love of money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. 1 Timothy 6:6-10. Notice Paul's challenge, please, to the Corinthian Christians in verse 13, that they be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Paul knew Corinth, just like Ephesus and every other city and town, needed mature Christians who would be reliable leaders in times when the society was in upheaval. Do you see that need in America and even in your town in our day? I think the Ephesus riot that is described in Acts 19, verse 23 to the end of the chapter, was beginning to gather momentum. And so Paul was writing out of personal experience as the tensions grew all around him. My guess is he concluded this letter of 1 Corinthians rather abruptly, signed it in his own hand, as you see in verse 21, and sent it off to Corinth, perhaps in the care of Timothy, and maybe the three men mentioned in verse 17. I invite you to read about the Ephesus riot in Acts 19 and ask yourself this question. When considering the gospel, the Christians who live in your area of the country, and the churches in your community, what impact are we having on the culture of America where we each live? In Ephesus, clearly Paul and the Christians in that city were having a disruptive effect as people were turning away from their purchase and worship of silver idols. It was affecting the local economy. Earlier in Acts 19, we saw a huge book burning as Christians were destroying the materials they had used in sorcery and witchcraft. These are two powerful examples of impact on local society that Christians were having in Ephesus, and it resulted in a riot. I wonder what you think about that, and what difference we Christians are making in America. We all remember God's 2 Chronicles 7:14 promise, right? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So how do you see this verse at work in America today? So Acts 20, verse 1 to 3 tells us that Paul left Ephesus rather quickly after the riot, went again through Macedonia, revisiting the Christians in places like Troas, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and ended up in Athens. We believe it was from there, Athens, that Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, and then soon after he followed that letter with a personal short visit to Corinth. So we'll begin reading that letter, 2 Corinthians, tomorrow. May I invite us to ponder these questions as we conclude our reading of 1 Corinthians? 1. How similar or different is your church from the dysfunctionality of the Corinthian church which motivated Paul to write this first letter to them? 2. What impact is your church, the Christians who live in your community, and even you as one Christian, having on the community where you live? 3. If you had to pack up and leave your community rather quickly in the next few days, as Paul did, what lasting legacy would you leave behind? Finally, what do you imagine God has in his mind that he would like to accomplish with your involvement and mine between today and the beginning of the year 2020 in our world? How many times have we heard the year 2020 as a benchmark goal for something? 2020 is, by my count, 190 days from today. 1 Corinthians has been a powerful letter, hasn't it? 2 Corinthians will be also. I can hardly wait for tomorrow. As we close 1 Corinthians, I echo Paul's words in verse 23 and 24. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, please bless each of these, my dear friends, as we're on the summer journey of 2019 together. You know how each of us needs your touch, and we trust you to touch us right at the point of our need. In Jesus' name, amen.